Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You can turn to Matthew 5. Jesus made it clear from the beginning of his preaching, as we have here the Sermon on the Mount, whether that was a sermon or a collection of sayings for Matthew to say, well, this was a typical sort of sermon, doesn't really matter because it's all the teaching of Jesus, it's all the truth. And what Jesus makes clear right at the beginning is that God's purpose is to bless his people. God's purpose in this 40-day fast is to bless you. Now, he knows that the greatest blessing is to be revived, to be fruitful, to be used by him to impact the lives of others. He knows all that. But he knows that those things don't happen unless he has a blessed people. Now, to be blessed is to be made happy. It means to be fulfilled. To be sort of contented. Not just happy, sort of jolly, jolly. Not that kind of happiness, but happiness in the sense of being a fulfilled people. Contented knowing that you have accomplished what you're supposed to accomplish, really. And in these sayings that are called the Beatitudes, there are a whole lot of, well, they're not really promises, they're more rewards that a blessed people will enjoy, will have as their fulfillment. But of course, he is making it clear that each one of these rewards goes with a particular kind of people. So he wants us to have the rewards. Therefore, he wants us to be that kind of people. You see, what we need to ask ourselves, we're a week now into these 6 weeks or so of this more intensive seeking of God. Where are we aiming for? What are we aiming for God to do in our lives? What does he want to do? It's your kingdom come, your will be done, isn't it? It's his will in these 40 days, not our will. But his will is to bless us so that we become a blessing or a greater blessing. So I just believe that in this session, I mean, I came with all kinds of other stuff that, you know, we could share together, but I just felt God was saying, let's have a checklist this morning. Just a quick checklist. See how we're getting on. See whether we're aiming where he's aiming. Whether we're really moving in the direction he wants to move. So we don't just sort of have a nice time and good times of prayer, but we really are going to hit the mark. You know, sin literally means to miss the mark. But God's purpose is for us to hit the bullseye, the very center of the target. We don't want to just sort of hit the edge of the target, saying, well, at least we hit the target. No, we want the bullseye. We want the top score. Amen? We want the very heart and the center of God's will. So, first of all, he says that The kingdom of heaven is going to be given to a blessed people. Now, we can say, well, we already have the kingdom. The kingdom is within us. Well, what God wants is for more of his kingdom, rule, and reign to be exhibited or expressed, manifested in our lives, yes?
Yes.
So he says, well, the truly humble, the poor in spirit, they are going to express that kingdom. So how are you getting on with the humility? You've had 1 week. Are you more humble than you were this time last week? See, God's doing a work of the Spirit. He says, well, blessed are the poor in spirit, the truly humble. Has the process of breaking down the pride been taking place? Now, this is not a question of getting our eyes on ourselves, but keeping our eyes on God's purpose. Are there areas where the convicting power of the Spirit needs to come up against the pride, arrogance, self, that is a detriment to his purposes? Just asking, just checking. It's not accusing, it's just, well, how are you getting on? How do you know whether you are more humble than you were a week ago? Well, God's bigger. God has a bigger part in your life. You're spending more time praying. I sort of wandered in here quite early this morning and thought, I wonder how many students are in the worship hall. If they can't be down there at 6 o'clock, they're down here. Answer, precious few. But are you really giving yourself to the prayer? Just asking. Do you really want God to deal with the issues in your life that are detrimental to his best purposes? Or are you just going with the flow, with what everybody else is doing? See, is there an urgency? Is there a hunger in your spirit yet? See, what God does in the early part of a time of seeking him is he begins to make people hungry. Are you hungry enough yet? Are you getting hungry enough to say, well, nothing else matters except for me meeting with God now? I mean, this is the essence of what he wants. So you see, to humble yourself is to submit yourself to his will. It's not to sort of look at yourself and say, oh, I'm ever so humble. The Dickens character was like that, isn't it? See, what does Peter say? And James, actually, they quote the scripture, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may lift you up. See, God wants to lift you up. He wants to exalt you. He wants to take you higher. I was explaining to some of you yesterday in the lecture that in revival, you go deeper to go higher. it isn't until you're ready to go deeper that God can lift you higher. You go down to go up. Otherwise, you just get into unreality, you know? Nice experiences, but no really depth of God working in your heart and life. So he's let us have a week of enjoying him, enjoying his presence. And I believe he's saying, okay, now it's time to start work on you. You know I'm around. You know I'm honoring this time. You know my presence. Now let's roll our sleeves up and do some work. In the prayer. Okay? So, are you mourning? Mourning? You only mourn when you grieve. Are you mourning? What Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. What's going to happen? They're going to be comforted. Now, to be comforted in Scripture is to be strengthened. What's Jesus on about? I mean, when he came across groups of people that were mourning, he sort of used to move in and get them rejoicing over what he did. But here he's saying, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed? How can you be blessed if you're grieving? Well, grieving is a negative thing. God, it's a natural thing, but it's negative. So God wants to take us always out of grieving. He carried our grief and our sorrow. So he's not talking about grief. What's he talking about? You begin to mourn all the ways in which you're not like Jesus. You begin to see all your inadequacy before him. Now, that's not a self-pitying negative thing. That throws you in greater dependence upon the Lord and his mercy. And he says, that's fine, you'll be comforted. But you see, that's an inevitable part of the process, this mourning, because you begin to see things and to see yourself in ways that perhaps you haven't wanted to see, but God is well aware of. And it's only in a time like this when people get serious, really serious, with God, that he just uncovers these things. Says right now, when you begin to mourn over the issues in your life that are not Christ-like, then I can begin to change you. While you just accept those things, while you ignore those things, I can't do anything about them. This is really what God says. But when you face them, you get comforted. You get strengthened. You get built up. Because you see, as soon as you begin to meet with God, you meet with his mercy. Amazing, isn't it? Blessed are those who mourn. Obviously, there must be something very, very positive that Jesus is talking about here. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a blessing. What about your meekness? Have you got a gentle spirit? Remember, Jesus said that he had a humble and a gentle heart. How are you getting on in the gentleness? I think we might say, Lord, I want power, I want authority. Jesus was a man of power and authority, but he was the man of gentleness. All at the same time. You see, if you're gentle, you don't look at others critically. You look at them compassionately. You don't want to hammer them, you want to help them. You don't want to deal roughly with them, you want to deal sensitively with them. How are you getting on with the gentleness? Perhaps it hasn't even come into focus yet, which is presumably why God's saying this word. When I came in here, I had no intention of using this passage. Just as we were praying just then, God said, just show my people how I want to bless them. So I'm listening as much as you are. But look what's going to happen. They're going to have the earth as their inheritance. Now, haven't we been saying, as a church, this is what we want? Hasn't God been telling us to inherit the land? Haven't we been talking about the kingdom advancing? What do we think we need? Power, authority, and domination. God said, no, you need gentleness. Those with gentleness inherit the earth. Not just the nation, the earth. Jesus inherited the earth. Why? Because he had a gentle heart. That's why he didn't hit back. When he was abused, ridiculed, persecuted, that's why he could pray as they hammered the nails into his hands, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Not anger, not resentment. Gentleness. Meekness. How are you getting on? It's life today. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Yes? Well, who will be filled with God's life? Those who long for, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you want everything in your life to be in right order with God? See, the more you hunger after righteousness, and the more he fills you with the life that enables that righteousness. Because it's his life, you know. He is your righteousness, isn't he? He is your life. I'll say a little bit more about the truth and life in a minute. It's great, isn't it? Yes. To hunger. Not just hunger to be right, but hunger to be righteous. To have righteous attitudes. To respond to every situation that arises in a righteous way. That even when others around you are not being righteous, you're going to be righteous. Without judging them for what they're doing, you're just concerned to glorify God by the way you walk. We need God's mercy, don't we? So he says the merciful are blessed. How are you getting on in the mercy stakes? Are you more merciful than you were a week ago? How much more merciful do you want to be in 5 weeks' time? See, a merciful people don't judge. You can't judge and be merciful. In order to enter this new dispensation, this new time, this new covenant of God's mercy, he has had to suspend his judgment. Because he can't judge and be merciful all at the same time. So Jesus comes first of all in mercy. When he comes again, it will be with judgment. But he's suspended his judgment in order to be merciful. Instead of treating us as we deserve, he is merciful towards us. So in this era of God's mercy, he needs a merciful people. Yes. Now, a merciful people are a forgiving people. Yes? They don't judge. They don't have a critical attitude towards... How are you getting on with that? Let me make this clear, you know. Jesus, as he goes on in this sermon, he makes it clear that this is not like the law. The New Covenant, the New Testament, is not like the Old Testament. There's a distinct difference. In the Old Testament, it's what you did. In the New Testament, it's what goes on in you. So, you know, you've broken the law if you do something wrong. According to Jesus, you're out of court if you even want to do it. Hello? You know, you have heard that it's been said of old, bum, 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 but what I say to you is even if you desire it, even if that's what you want to do, you're out of court. Mm-hmm. Woo, how are you getting on? Progress? After 1 week, can we say there's progress? Things are changing on the inside. I'm much more merciful. Or perhaps we're just at the point where God is saying, don't you think you need to be more merciful? Just consider how merciful I have been to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't you think it's time for you to reflect that mercy?
Yeah.
So you have to go through the phase where you begin to excuse yourself for not being merciful. Well, Lord, they did this to me and they did that and this has happened to me and that and this has made me who I am and... Have you got through all that yet? Have you got through excusing yourself for being what you are?
Yeah.
This is just a checklist, right? Because God wants to bless you.
Yeah.
Says the merciful are blessed. Not just those who receive mercy, but the merciful are blessed. Because if they're merciful, then they're going to receive much more mercy. But they're going to be blessed.
Yeah.
It blesses you to be merciful. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Just checking. Right, now, have you seen him? Have you seen him lately? Now, we're sort of aware of his presence. We've had some good times of worship or prayer where he's present. Have you seen him? Well, how can you see God? Have a pure heart. How are we getting on? I believe God, by the time the 6 weeks are over, God wants to have you to have seen him in a way that you've never seen him before. Now, there's a whole series of ways in which he can do that. But let me tell you, when it happens, you know it's happened. You haven't imagined something. You haven't just dreamed something. You've had a divine visitation. Maybe in vision, it may be in some other way, but you know you've seen him. Now, it's no use trying to seek him to see him. Oh God, I want to see you. Like I read all these great men and women of God, see you, show me yourself, Lord. He said, no, just get a pure heart, then you'll see me. Yeah. I found that often God reveals himself, I see him. In times of greatest need, of greatest stress, especially when everything's coming against you, God in his sort of wonderful mercy seems to say, I'm here. Don't listen to all that stuff. Because if you didn't have a pure heart, you wouldn't be able to see me. Are you breathing? I mean, why does Jesus say this? Is he talking about what's going to happen when we go to heaven? No, he's talking about blessing us now, isn't he? He doesn't say, blessed will be the pure in heart, but blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. How are you getting on? I'm okay, it's only 1 week out of six, but is that sort of an unfolding of him beginning to happen. Not just, oh, it's lovely to be in your presence, Lord. No, but, I mean, it is lovely to be in his presence, isn't it? That blesses us, yes. But we've got to go beyond that, haven't we? So we begin to see the one who is present. Of course, if it's not your expectation, then you don't have faith for it. But you see, it's not, oh God, I want a wonderful experience. It's, no, it's wanting a pure heart. I believe Jesus says these things, you see, just to give us encouragement. Says, come on, it's worth having a pure heart. This is what's going to happen. You're going to see God. It's worth being merciful because you're going to receive mercy. It's worth being humble because you're going to just live in the goodness of the kingdom. You know, you just tell people what God wants, what they ought to do. You're preaching law.
Yeah.
I learned very, very early in my ministry that if you don't give people expectation, why should they repent? You know, just telling somebody, repent. See, Jesus didn't do that. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is within your reach. God wants to give you a kingdom. And that's how I've always evangelized. God wants to give to you. Not, you know, you're a wretched, miserable sinner, you need to repent. God wants to give you a kingdom. But in order to get the kingdom, you need to repent. You don't use the word repent because people don't understand it, but show them what it means. Now, you're probably more or less at peace with God by now, until this message. And now you're realizing, wait a minute, this peace needs to get deeper so God can take me higher, closer, see Him more fully. Revival is exciting. It's very interesting. It's exciting. It's very rewarding. It's wonderful. It's all Jesus, really. So making peace with God, with others, peacemakers. But you can't be a peacemaker unless you're at peace with God. Hello? Oh, that's good, isn't it? Because they will be known as sons of God. Not just they, it's not just that they will know they're sons of God, but others will know they're sons of God. Look at that. How are you getting on with the peacemaking? With God, with others? Can't make peace with those you judge, condemn, criticize. Just asking. Now, what about the persecution? Because the persecuted are blessed. Well, here at Rafi, there's not much persecution. For most of you. For some of us, there is. But not for, not for most of us here. But this is the strange thing, you know. Jesus says, you're blessed when you're persecuted because they persecuted me. And if they do to you what they did to me, you're blessed. It's like saying you're on course. There's something going on in your life that is worth persecuting. The devil is worried enough about what is happening to you for him to stir up opposition. So some of you may be getting some opposition from home or from here or from there or from. But, you know, you don't go looking for it. It just sort of happens. But, I mean, look what Jesus said. You are blessed when people insult you. Thank you, Lord. Persecute you. Or accuse you falsely. Oh, that's one that God's really been working on me, is working on me. Because I know what it is to be accused falsely, but it says, you're blessed, Colin. Because it doesn't feel like. You know, everything sort of rises up within you against what is false. You say, that's all right! So you're blessed. Mm. In other words, I've let this happen to you to bless you. The enemy thinks he's going to destroy you, but I've let it happen to bless you. Huh. Good book, this. You should be rejoice and glad because a rich reward awaits you. Now, that's the interesting thing. This is where the reward for persecution is a bit different from all the other blessings that we've just heard about, because he says your reward for the persecution is going to be in the future. Because it's not nice now, but that's all right. The cross wasn't nice, but look what happened afterwards. Resurrection, glory, harvest of souls. And who knows that whatever you have to go through, God takes you through. I've loved that scripture in Isaiah where God says, I will carry you. Yeah. That's a great promise, because, you know, when we're called to walk, you know, but when the walking gets so difficult, he says, that's okay, I'll pick you up and carry you. You know, because we're just like little kids, you know, little toddlers. Take them for a walk, boom, 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 and they get so far, and then it's, you know, carry me. Well, we're like that sometimes, spiritually. Well, I just don't know how I could go on like this. Says, well, that's okay, I'll carry you. But, I mean, that's not so much for this week. So you should rejoice and be glad, because a rich reward awaits you in heaven. The prophets who lived before you were persecuted in the same way. So when you start getting persecuted, that means you're prophetic. Not pathetic, prophetic.
Right.
Don't feel sorry for yourself. Just say, hallelujah. I'm being numbered with the prophets. So there's always a positive, isn't there? So how are we getting on with all this? Now, he then says, you're the salt for the earth. You're light for the world. You're a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Why? Because you're so blessed. And you see, the more you're blessed, the more salty, the more light, the more you can't be hidden. And the more you can't be hidden, bang, the more arrows get fired at you. By the farer of fiery arrows. That's all right. Got the shield of faith. And what does the shield of faith do? It quenches the fiery arrows. So how are we getting on? See, I think really what the Lord is saying is he wanted to encourage us this morning. So you're feeling encouraged, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because he's saying, okay, good so far. Now I want to encourage you to go further.
Yes.
I want to encourage you to go deeper. Because I want to encourage you by taking you higher and drawing you closer. Yes?
Yes.
Praise God. So this is the truth. You put it all together, and it's wonderful, isn't it? All these things that God says he's going to do. Wow. Phew. Make me salt and light. Yeah, come on. Because, you see, you know, we want to make a difference, don't we? The salt makes a difference. You try cooking without salt.
Yeah.
Put some salt in and see what a difference.
Yeah?
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You know that the brighter the light, the more you're able to see. It's not this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. God doesn't want you to have a little light. He doesn't want you to be a candle. He wants you to be a searchlight. He wants you to be a floodlight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to pray. We're going to meet with God. Not just now, but for the next 5 weeks. And beyond, of course. Let me just tell you something about the truth and something about the life. If you cling to the truth, you cling to God. You cling to Jesus, because he is the truth. Now, you see, he is the Word. If you cling to the Word, not just read it, not just, oh, yeah, yeah, no. If you cling to it, if you embrace it, hold on to it. Jesus said, hold fast to it with an honest and good heart. Then you're clinging to God. If you live the truth, you live with God. If you follow the truth, you follow God. If you have fellowship with the truth, you have fellowship with God. See, what's he doing? He's bringing your life in line with the truth. The closer your life lines up with God's word, the closer you will walk with God. If you trust the truth, you trust God. You can't trust God without trusting the truth, because he is the truth. Are we there? If you speak the truth, you will speak in the name of God, because you can't speak in the name of God without speaking the truth. If you love the truth, you love God. If you love God, you love the truth. It doesn't matter which way around you put it. Can you understand what I'm saying? And, of course, if you obey, if you love, you obey. So if you obey the truth, you obey God. If you obey God, you obey the truth. Isn't it wonderful? And, of course, then you have freedom with God. Because the truth gives you freedom.
Right.
Now, Jesus is the way to the life through the truth. I am the way, the truth, the life. So the life is in the Word.
Right.
My words are spirit and life. The life is in the Spirit. He is the Spirit of life.
Amen.
Who has delivered us from the law of sin and death.
Right. Amen.
So there's no condemnation in saying, okay, let's do his checklist because what God wants to do now. The life is in the water, living water that he wants us to drink and that is to flow out of us as rivers. Because of all that he's done for us, he has now opened up to us the way to the tree of life. So there's the tree of life. There's the word of life, the spirit of life, the water of life, the tree of life. He is the resurrection and the life. That's it, you see. The more our lives line up with the word, the more he can raise us up in the way that he wants. Is this good or is this good? Are you getting this? See, this is the encouragement bit, right? Your name is written in the book of life. Hallelujah. And Jesus came to give you fullness of life. And he is the one who has eternal life. And his life is the light of the world. Oh, I had to jot these things down because, you know, God was speaking to me yesterday about the truth, clinging to the truth, living the truth, following the truth, having fellowship with the truth, trusting the truth, speaking the truth, loving the truth, obeying the truth, having freedom in the truth. And today he was talking about this life. Life is in the word, life is in the spirit, life is in the water, life is in the tree, life is in the resurrection, in the book, in the fullness, in the eternal eternity of God in light. It's all so wonderful. Isn't it? I say, yes, Lord, this is so wonderful. That actually, it's not a question of, oh God, look at me, I'm terrible. There's this and this and this and this. You say, yeah, I know. But that's okay. I only have to expose it, put my finger on it, and it's dealt with. So long as you don't shrink away and don't let me put my finger on it, you just let me deal with it. Boom. That's it. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Now I'm more free. Now I'm fuller of life. Now there's more soul, more light, more truth, more blessing. Wow. See, sometimes people try to get blessed without the dealings of God. But with the dealings of God come the blessings of God. So, we're going to pray. But what I hope you understand, what you get out of this is simply this. You might be satisfied that, but he isn't. Because he says, listen, there's so much more blessing that I want to pour into your life. I don't want you to be satisfied with where you are now. I want you to see there is much, 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 much more. And the more, the deeper you go, the higher you go. Yes. Let's stand. Now, we could just make a lot of noise, couldn't we? Just get into the presence of God, that would be good. Well, we're in the presence of God already, but I don't know about you, but in the next half an hour or so, I want God to do something in me. Now, what of all these things is he going to touch? I don't know. He'll touch different things in different people, won't he? But that's what he wants to do. The finger of God Listen, the finger of the devil accuses. The finger of God sets you free. He touches an area of your life and liberates you or heals you. So are you ready to receive from God this morning? Come on, let's just focus on Him then. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's begin to praise Him because we want the focus to be on Him. He will show you what He wants to deal with, not look at yourself. That's a boring subject. But to look at Jesus, that's really interesting. Come on, Jesus. 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 Poratapari eleto pacarazita di Satori eleto pacarazita. Balatapari eleto pacarazita di Satori eleto. Balalala basotori Satari eleto pacarazita di Sanduma. Balatapari eleto pacarazita di Satori eleto pacarazita. Now just thank Him that you're blessed. We are already a blessed people, aren't we? Come on, let's thank Him that we're a blessed people. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us so much. With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, with the fullness of life that we have in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that all the blessings of Abraham are ours. Praise you, Jesus. All the blessings of Jesus are ours. Hallelujah. And thank you that you want us to live as a blessed people. Thank you that you want us to be salt and light. Balatapari eletu bakara sitiri sanduba. Burala bazatari eleto bakara sitiri satu bakala sitiri sanduba. Balatapari eleto bakara sitiri satori eleto bakara sitiri sanduba. Balatapari eleto bakara sitiri saratori eleto bakara sitiri sanduba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Burala bazatari elero bakarasitaba. Oh, what a wonderful God you are. How mighty you are. How glorious you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Purala bazatari elero bakarasitri sanduma. Burala bazatari elero bakarasitri sanduma. Borra la bazatari elero bakarasituba. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Puratapari eletu bakarasituri sanduma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're just going to go through these blessings. Just spend a few moments over each, and you just meet with God around each in whatever way is appropriate. Just let the Holy Spirit do His work in you. Don't look at yourself and start beating yourself up or anything like that. Just let God do it. Now, He says, blessed are the humble.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.